sorry, mate, I'm not having it, snickometer and all that. Dear me, what's happening? What is happening?
I mean, I think that more laws should be written for the whole game, not the VAR. Don't force a school teacher to tell a nine-year-old boy or girl that their body silhouette was unnatural. There's no snickometer on the playing field.
Correct.
It's orange juice time. Rip it up and start again.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast, Euro 2024. I'm Graeme Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello, and welcome back, Graeme.
Thank you. Yes, I've been away. I've been in Germany for the last 8 days, and I saw 2 games, and I took time in between the group stage and the knockout stage to travel around a bit as well. So I've had a lovely time. I'd love to say I'm all well rested, but it's been such a whirlwind that I'm absolutely knackered now. So I'm just going to need another few days to recover. But it's been great. And I'll say, what have I missed while I've been away? But I mean, I've been watching the same matches that you have. I've just been watching it with German commentary, which actually has been quite enjoyable because I don't speak a word of German. Well, I speak a little bit of German, but most of my German comes from action comics. So it's basically it's Schnell and Hande Hock and that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm a bit of a dumb cop when it comes to the German language. You'll be glad to know, Terry, that Per Mertesacker is basically a permanent fixture on German TV. I don't think I saw him have a day off. He just seems to be around at every match, which is amazing, really. I think there must be more than one of him. And if you're interested as well, Lukas Podolski is advertising absolutely everything. Not an ad break goes past without Lukas Podolski trying to sell you something, be it holidays, credit cards, you name it, he's there. He's there trying to flog it. Surprisingly, not kebabs, though, but I did go past his shop in Cologne, so yeah, Lukas Podolski's got his fingers in many kebabs now.
But you didn't stop in there, no?
No, I didn't stop in there, no. I was trying to eat healthily when I was out there. I know you should have a gyros when you're over in Germany, at least one, I suppose, but... Yeah, after days of sausage and schnitzel, I thought, I've really got to try and eat a proper meal at some point. But no, a great time in Germany. And I didn't realise, actually, that a couple of days ago, I drove right past the England training camp and didn't know it. Because the route between Trier and Cologne, which I was on, actually goes past Blankenheim, which is where the England camp is. I don't know how I know this. Maybe it's been ingrained into me through all the half times on BBC when they cut to the England training camp at Blankenheim. That must have told me. But lads, what's it been like over here? I mean, I've been away from all the media. How did it go after England scraped their way through the round of 16 into the quarterfinals? Was everyone, Gareth's fine. He knows what he's doing. Finish top of the group. Get through your knockout stage into the quarterfinals again.
It's funny, I watched the Slovakia game with some friends, and the angst and disappointment that had been gripping England supporters across this tournament for not battering everybody 8-0, which is the expectation here. And this is not just spoon-fed to them by the press. Actually, English people, guys, and listeners, actually believe this. We should be battering every team should just lay down before us, which clearly doesn't happen. But yeah, once the late drama unfolded against Slovakia, that was it. The mood lifted. It was fine. So Slovakia had a chance to pull it back to 2-2, a small chance. But, you know, there was no worries. Everyone was like, oh, it's fine. But I have to say, I don't understand the, I kind of suppose I understand to a certain extent, but the English fans and media axis seem to be hell-bent on destroying England's chances of winning by heaping so much. And this story goes back over every tournament England's ever qualified for in my lifetime, where they just heap so much pressure on them. I'm surprised the guys can even, you know, function when they get out on the pitch. Gareth Southgate has been, you know, I've seen him with memes outside of a job centre and things like that. The reality is he got the side unfashionably and without any kind of flair, I admit, and not the greatest games to watch. But his objective was to get the team out of the group stage, which he did. And his objective then was to get them into the quarterfinals, which he's done. I have to admit, though, that last one was incredibly fortunate. I thought Slovakia were great at soaking England up and England were great at just not doing anything for the majority of the game. So the theme, Grim, while you've been away from the English, has been just one of disappointment and anger and then relief and like, well, yeah, now we're through, we're going to win everything. So it's typical English exceptionalism, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that's what we're all about because we are so, yeah. So exceptional, aren't we, Terry?
Yeah, England are exceptional. I think that is accurate. We're definitely, definitely exceptional. And we had so far an exceptional tournament. Exceptionally boring to watch is what I would characterise as. England are boring. They're boring to watch. And they've been lucky insofar as they've got a player like Jude Bellingham who was able to produce something spectacular at an absolutely critical moment and just tip the balance. And then obviously, you know, I mean, ironically, the two players who have got the most criticism, in my experience, from both by media and by the few England fans that I've spoken to, are Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane. And the two players who have scored the goals in England's campaign are Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane. And I think that just sums up where England football fandom and is culturally. I just don't think we get our team. We don't get our national team. And I think to a certain degree, they don't get us either, which is odd, to be honest with you. But I don't expect England necessarily to play carefree attacking football. But I don't have enough faith in England's back line to really feel as though the way that they do play is, you know, sufficient for us to really progress in this tournament. And I think that that's borne out in what happened against Slovakia. We were seconds from losing that game and we would have lost that game fair and square. I don't think anyone could have possibly have complained if we'd lost that game. But we have a player like Jude Bellingham who can produce something amazing, and that's what's happened, and that's given us the shot on the arm, and that's great. And I think it bodes ill for future games. I think if we are like that against Switzerland, and assuming Switzerland turn up, then I think that we're in a lot of trouble. But there's no arguing with the results. We finished top of a group. There aren't many more fancy teams than England in this tournament, to be fair, but we have done very well to get top of the group and get through to the quarterfinals by playing really poorly. I'm not certain we can Portugal 2016 our way to the final. I don't know, maybe we could.
With Switzerland, we've got the team that was ranked lowest in the draw at the time of the draw. So before the teams came in from the Nations League, all of which are out now. Yeah, Switzerland were a pot four side. So what do you think? They have impressed, haven't they? They were very, very good in their group. They've got to be fancying themselves against England, do you think? Because England haven't impressed. Terry, what do you think? You said Switzerland, but you were quite ready for them to disappoint. Have they disappointed you or have they been good?
Not in the slightest. They've been good.
Yes.
They were excellent against Italy. Did a really, really thoroughly professional job against Italy. A struggling Italy side, to be fair. I predicted Italy would win that game because Italy, just simply because it's what Italy do and it's what Switzerland do. Switzerland lose, Italy win. And Switzerland were strong enough to overcome the narratives, play football and beat the better team. They were, I thought, I don't know, it depends who you ask, really. I think they were kind of unlucky not to beat Germany. But at the same time, I think a few people on the German side feel that they got some pretty, you know, marginal calls on their side. I don't know. I think you'd probably, that depends on who you ask, really, who you talk to. But they have been really good. And I think, you know, for me, of all the standout players, I think, you know, a lot's been said about Akanji over here, a lot of praise because he's a Man City player. But I thought Xhaka has just been monumental, you know, carrying on that Bayer Leverkusen form straight into the Switzerland team. He dictated the pace of that team, and he's been able to dictate matches as well. And he's the guy that I think that England are going to have the most trouble with when he's there. I think he's going to be doing a lot of shutting down and a lot of creating. They've been absolutely superb. So they just have to turn up and play their game. And I think that they can beat England. I really do. This current England side playing the way it is, I think England need to improve massively, or they need to make some significant changes. There is talk about playing three at the back, but obviously also England going in without Mark Gahey as well, who's been, I think, you know, one of the standout players for England as
certainly,
well.
Certainly for me. I think he's been our best player, actually, I think, because he's looked so assured at the back there. Jan, how do you think it's going to go against Switzerland? For me, Switzerland were great against Italy, and they showed Italy up as being very, very poor. I think Italy probably took to heart Terry's criticism of their coach's attire, and that probably just destroyed them, took everything out of them, I think. But thoroughly professional job against Italy. And Italy are out because they were poor. What do you think of that?
Well, it was a shame to see Italy go out, as Terry said, because Italy.
Yeah.
It's great to see them in tournaments, but yeah, it wasn't really for them this year, was it? England against Switzerland, I'm really concerned about that one. I think that Switzerland have looked organised, dynamic and robust. And I think England have looked anything other than that, other than a short period at the end of the last game. Terry's right. I think they need to make a change in how they're set up. I definitely want to see more of Cole Palmer, although he wasn't brilliant against Slovakia, but it just feels like he's the only one with any kind of spark. He's the only one who's got that kind of almost left field mind to do something different. Ivan Toney, I thought, though, in the short time he was on, was absolutely outstanding. And he set up Kane's header as well, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
And interestingly about that game, and hopefully into the next game, because you always hope that England are going to suddenly switch on and click like we've seen them do in so many tournaments down the years. Although I think this time it might be a little bit different. But if they do manage to click, then I think it'll be because they need to shift out maybe the old guard. I think we should be brave enough to take Kane off when we have to. I'm not saying drop him for the game, but certainly the way we need to play needs to be less on the floor and sticking to that dogmatic way, because both of those goals came from aerial attempts. Obviously, Bellingham's amazing overhead kick and Kane's header. And Harry Kane is one of the best aerial forwards there is. And why we're not making use of his height and his agility is beyond me. So once the ball was up in the air, English football tends to be played that way more so than anywhere else in the big leagues, I think we just look a bit more of a threat. So, you know, it is nice to pass it into the net, lads, but sometimes you need to be pragmatic and get a cross in. And I think that's where you're going to see the likes of Kane and Bellingham get a few more goals, really. So there's an opportunity there, I think, if we're going to try and step out of our shackles against Switzerland. But it's a big ask to do it against a side as organised as that.
I read an article from UEFA, which was a summation of the UEFA technical report for the group stage, the sort of Janet and John version for those of us who can't read technical reports. And the big takeaway was, in fact, that, you know, interesting what you say, Jan, but, you know, the teams were playing the ball longer because they were looking to beat the press because everyone's pressing and counter-pressing now, that they were playing their balls longer, which does actually, I think, perhaps play in, I think, to England's strengths. You know, we criticise Gareth Southgate, but, you know, this revolutionary approach of playing two strikers up front, I mean, what the hell is that? The Doppelstürmer, as they call it in Germany. I made that up. It's clearly a revolutionary new tactic, and, you know, which Southgate has embraced. Maybe he's been to the Fußballlehrer course in Cologne and gymmed up from the masters there. But in all seriousness, I would want to say, I think that criticism of Harry Kane has been harsh. I don't think he was probably 100% because he couldn't finish the end of the season at Bayern Munich because he had back problems, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's carrying a back injury. But also, he was asked to go up there and just like get kicked. Certainly in the first game, he was asked to get out there and just get kicked. And he did what he was told. He scored two goals. I appreciate he could be more mobile and should be more mobile, but I reckon he's doing what he's told. And I thought that the addition of Tony was very much a kind of a stroke of luck, really, but it really paid for us in that second half. And I'd like to see him back on the pitch earlier in the game against Switzerland. And I think it might be wiser to do that, because I think we might have to hit Tony if we're going to bypass Switzerland's press, because I think they're going to be tough.
Yes, I think you're right. If England do get past Switzerland, and for that matter, if Switzerland get past England, next up for them will be the winners of Netherlands versus Turkey. Now, Turkey have been involved in some of the most exciting games at this tournament, some of the craziest games as well. Last night, for this is Wednesday as we're recording, they beat Austria in the knockout stage to get into the quarterfinals. And, oh, hell got let loose because all the Turks got in their cars, drove around the block and beat their horns and let off fireworks. And I know because they did the same thing when they got through against the Czech Republic last week, because I was in Koblenz, which, if you don't know it, Koblenz don't have much of a football tradition because their local team is, I think, just been demoted into the Oberliga, which I think is the fifth tier of football. So their nearest biggest big clubs are Mainz and Kaiserslautern, which is quite a distance away from there. But even so, the whole town was a riot of bibbing horns and flares and fireworks. And yeah, it just was mad and went on into the early hours of the morning with all the Turks who took to the street and came out of nowhere, literally came out of nowhere, because I actually was looking for bars that had quite a high Turkish presence, but they were not to be found. They were not to be seen. And yet, as soon as the final whistle came, they were all out in the cars. So they all must have been at home or somewhere much more fun where the party was happening and I wasn't invited. So I don't mind. I don't mind, because considering how they party, I think I'm a bit old for that now. But it was unbelievable. And you want to see Turkey stay in this tournament. But can you see them staying in against the Netherlands, Terry?
Yeah, I totally can see that. I thought they played well last night. I don't think that there was any sort of fluke about that particular result. I thought they played well. You know, they created the smallest eye of a needle for Austria to play through, and Austria couldn't do it. And I think that they will try again with Netherlands. Netherlands, I think, have got the players to get through. I mean, it depends how Montoya sets them up. If he sets them up similar to what he did about against Austria, then, you know, we'll probably see them playing very, very narrow. I think that Netherlands have got some very, very strong wide players who I think will really trouble Turkey. I think Austria's system was brilliant and they've got some good players, but they're really all about the system and about their coach and about how he's been able to get the best out of them. They're not necessarily the best players in the world. And we've seen this demonstrated because they weren't good enough to break them down. So Netherlands, I think, have got the players to break down Turkey. Whether they will do it or not, of course, is entirely up to them. But that crowd, you know, that they've got, I mean, it's a home fixture for them. I mean, the Dutch bring a lot of people. But the Turkish crowd, as we talked about in our preview podcast, this is a home tournament for them. This is as close to a home tournament as they're probably going to get, because they seem to steadfastly be turned down for hosting the thing themselves. But so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to count for a great deal. And I think, as we've seen, Germany, you know, have benefited from being the home team. And really, Turkey are the second home team in that. So I would definitely fancy them. That's going to be an emotional game of football, I think. Whether it'll be any good or not, I don't know. But it's going to be very emotional.
Yeah, it's going to be all about the emotion that night. But, Jan, do you think they've still got enough in the tank? They've already got two players missing through suspension for this next game. Could be a third if the goal scorer from Tuesday's game is suspended, as reports are coming through now that he might be for making a nationalist gesture after scoring. There's already been precedence in this tournament from an Albania player who was banned for two matches, Daku. That may happen, so let's not dwell too much on that, but Turkey are there because they've played well in this tournament, with the exception of that game against Portugal, which they seemingly fell apart with the most comical own goal in, I think, any tournament, which was hilarious. The no-look pass straight into the back of the net, which was brilliant. Netherlands are playing within themselves a lot like England, but they seem to be creating chances and just not finishing them. Do you think the best side in this half of the draw is in this game or in the other game?
I think Turkey have been the real entertainers so far.
Yeah.
They really have. Netherlands, you're right, have been underwhelming. Have England have been? Have France have been? If I'm honest, I'm sure we'll come to them soon enough as well. But, you know, the Netherlands have got pedigree. And as Terry said, some great players. If Turkey are losing some of their players, especially Demiral, who I thought was he got a goal from her early on, which was a bit of a scramble, but that header was brilliant. He's got a presence, hasn't he? But if what he's done is deemed naughty enough, and then he's not going to be there, he's definitely going to be a miss. I just think that Turkey play with such energy, and with that crowd behind them, it's going to be pretty difficult for the Dutch. But at this stage, it's knockout. It can go either way, and that could be quite a mad game. It should be mad because it's the Netherlands and Turkey. The national characteristic suggests that it should be a lot less of a sober affair than England and Switzerland, who are anything but flamboyant nations. Whether the better team is on that side of the draw or with England, Switzerland, I really couldn't tell. No one's really standing out. If out of those four sides, Turkey looked like the one far more exciting than any of the others. Maybe that's a little harsh on Switzerland. If and when Switzerland dispatch England, playing Turkey would be something I don't think they'd look forward to.
Yeah. Terry, who's going to get to the final from those four teams?
That is a great question. All right. So if I was to probably, whenever I'm asked questions like this, I try and think about what was happening if I was going to put money on it. Well, money, what money would I put on that if I was going to place a bet on that? And I think that I would probably place a bet on the Netherlands to get to the final of this tournament from those four. On paper, Netherlands are the stronger side out of Turkey. England will just run out of luck, or Switzerland will run out of talent by the time they get to the semi-finals, which will, for me, that's how I would look at it. So Netherlands, I'm going to say.
Okay. I'm going to go with England.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
You always go with England.
I think they're going to do a number on Switzerland. And I think when we face Netherlands, because I do think Turkey will run out of puff, and I think they'll have another game like they had against Portugal, against the Netherlands. That level only takes you so far. And when things start to go wrong for you, it can all collapse like a house of cards. And I think that's what the game against the Netherlands has the potential to be. And if we face the Dutch in the semi-final, both teams are struggling with central midfield. And I think Netherlands, they've got a soft underbelly that is going to be exposed by decent teams when they come up against them. And I think they will fall apart. But they might hold on for a penalty shootout, which will win. There you go. That's my predictions.
That's a perfectly foreseeable scenario. It's a perfectly foreseeable scenario that you've got going on there. I think England v Netherlands would be an absolute war of a game as well.
Yeah, it will be.
I think it'll be nothing but chaos going on there, and probably for the neutral, a lot of fun to watch.
Well, that's the crap half of the draw. Let's go to the exciting half of the draw to talk about the proper teams that are left in the tournament. Well, the standout fixture, I think, for the quarterfinals is Spain versus Germany. Spain, who have entertained and have been good, and Germany, who have been good, mainly because they've had a lot of decisions going their way. But yes, they have been good anyway. They've been very good, and they've had their two strikers, which they don't play together, which is a bit weird. But they have Kai Havertz to come on to be all grace and all about style. And then they've got Niklas Füllkrug to come on and just barnstorm his way through and score goals. and they have been fun to watch as well, haven't they, Terry? But you'll have to admit, I mean, only blinkered German fans are going to be saying that they've not had the rubber of the green in some of those games, have they really?
Well, I, like I said, they'll look to the Switzerland game and feel strongly that they were denied penalty calls against Switzerland. I don't know whether or not I really share that, but you know how it is with people and their teams. So they might disagree with that, but I thought Joachim Andersen just sealed the anti-Palace agenda. We can call it now. In England, the PGMOL versus Crystal Palace. I mean, it's I rest my case, really. Obviously, letter of the law, not a goal, because you can't have a toe offside, mate. Sorry, it's just not allowed. And yeah, Snicko, which now we have Snicko in football, which really makes me very angry, to the point where I can't articulate my rage. So I will bottle it up for the time being. There's two games. There's the one that everybody else plays, and then there's a game where Snicko decides whether or not a ball has been handled. Or, you know, semi-automated offside determines whether or not a player is offside by a toe. But our laws are accommodating the game played by the few rather than by the many. And it thoroughly depresses me. And I think that that was the most depressing aspect of that game against Denmark. Well, not that Germany won. I was quite pleased that Germany won. But really that I just felt that this is just a bad way to do football. And I don't agree with it. Chris Nee wrote in his newsletter that he felt that the British referees have been chucked under the bus to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Because actually all they were doing is just following the rules. It was a bit like with that VAR thing with the offside goal, and it was Denzel Dumfries, was it, who was offside? We've seen some questionable and controversial VAR decisions in the group stages, and the blame of which was laid at the feet of the British referees. And it's fun and indeed profitable to have a go at British and English referees, but all they're doing is observing the law. I just find it very depressing. It's quite interesting. After the game, after that Denmark-Germany game, they did some analysis on ITV. Incidentally, ITV's coverage of this Euros is better than the BBC's. It's official. I don't believe I'd ever would have heard myself say that, but it is true. It's much better. And Christina Unkel, the VAR specialist, she exists. She's a person. And they got her into the studio to talk about that. And she quite calmly explained why this is interpreted, while at the same time kind of making it clear that she probably thinks this is a load of bobbins as well. But it is just the way things have to be. And I think it's crap. And I think that Denmark were unlucky. But then they were also terrible in their group, so.
Yep, it's true. Yeah, I think as far as you were saying about Snicko is concerned, the whole thing I thought about handball was controlling the ball with your hand. If you need technology to actually tell you that it's hit someone's hand, then how is that controlling the ball? I mean, it is a joke, an utter joke.
Interestingly, and perhaps we don't want to go too much on this, but I mean, like, it is of course a question of silhouettes now rather than controlling around. If you're not in an unnatural position. And you also missed this while you were away. Clive Tildesley gave his final address before he was sacked by ITV, rather unceremoniously. So his final game for ITV was that Denmark game. And he was quite blunt about it. He was clearly deciding he was offering his opinion. Maybe he's auditioning to come on this podcast. But he just said, like, this is ridiculous. He said, you're not going to get a teacher's not going to be able to turn around to a nine-year-old and say, oh, I'm sorry, but your arms are outside the silhouette, which is why I have to give that as a penalty. This is ridiculous. And it basically, he summed up in one sentence what we have been saying for years. And the reason why he's a professional commentator and we're just podcast guys is he summed it up very, very, very succinctly, using a metaphor that everybody could understand, and demonstrated his skill as a broadcaster. It was very well said, and it was a very welcome intervention, in my opinion.
But he didn't get at least 20 episodes a season out of that, did he?
No.
Like we did. So that's the drawback, you see, of doing it in one sentence.
You can fill,
what, probably just shy of 20 hours a season with it.
So true.
Yeah.
Jan is absolutely right.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. It's all about content.
I do agree, though, Terry, that, I mean, I turned to my son and he roll his eyes and just thought I'm even older and more irritating than I actually am in his eyes and in reality, some might say. When I said, this is everything that's wrong with modern football. And I felt myself, even looking at myself as a bit of an old man, but it really was a toe offside and then a snickometer to decide whether it was a handball. I just, you know, I held back on saying the game's gone, but I was thinking inside the game is gone. That was dreadful. It really, really was, joking aside, absolutely dreadful. And to be honest with you, I mean, if you're Denmark, you're right, Terry, they weren't that great in the group stage, but you know, if that had gone the other way, you know, we could have been talking about them into the next round. So,
and the argument is that it wouldn't have gone away. Of course, people are arguing that it wouldn't have been like that if it had been Germany and Denmark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, as we know, it's really about Palace and the PGMOL.
Yes, that's Michael Oliver.
We all know that's the fact.
Yeah,
that's
I think that's it. I think Denmark should have complained as soon as Michael Oliver's name was attached to that match.
Or dropped Anderson, because like I said, well, we're not, sorry, mate, you're now a liability.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, think about it. Do your own research, listeners. Do your own research on this one. But Germany, they will have met their match this time, though. There's no way that Spain will fall foul of any dodgy refereeing decisions, will they? Spain, Germany, it's going to be one for the ages, isn't it? Luckily, I was at the game Spain-Georgia, which was immense fun. It was much more fun than England-Slovenia, which I also went to. But Spain-Georgia was brilliant and fantastic atmosphere. Georgians brought the noise, the colour, and the team themselves were brilliant. I didn't even notice that they didn't have a shot on target because they just played such a good game. But of course, they got beaten 4-1. Because Spain are Spain. And Jan, what do you think? Do you think Spain are looking ominous in this? Because they've got so many good players. They play so well. Are they going to beat Germany, though?
I think there's a chance they will. They look so good going forward. Lamal is, against Georgia, he floated another beauty in that I thought he's got that a bit wrong. A bit like I said in the last pod, turned out to be absolutely perfect. And Nico Williams as well on the other wing. They're just causing real problems with every team that they come up against. And I think that they've got the I'm not saying they're going to beat Germany because clearly it's a very close tie and hopefully it's an entertaining game. But I think that, you know, if anybody can overcome Germany at home, I think Spain, in with the players they've got and the form they're in, I think they could definitely do it.
Yeah.
I agree entirely with what Jan said. I think Spain, if it's the same Spain that we've seen in all tournament long, then they should beat Germany, not comfortably. Nothing should be comfortable at this stage of the competition, but I think that they should be able to do that. They need to look to themselves if they fail. Mm. Or the referee, maybe.
Of course, this one is almost a semi-final because the winners of this game will face the winners of, quite frankly, the poorest of the selection as far as the quarterfinals is concerned, and that's Portugal-France. Two teams that have just chanced their way here and are disappointed at every corner. Portugal, terrible. France, really, really uninspiring. That's my opinion, but what do these guys think? Jan, what do you think of Portugal so far? I mean, they were unlucky, weren't they? I mean, they had so many chances to score from set plays, didn't they, the other night against Slovenia?
Well,
but it just wasn't working for them.
You say there, like the team had an option. There was even any discussion.
Yeah, it's a team game, Jan. It's a team game.
It is a team game, unless you play for Portugal.
Wait. I'll come out with an opinion on Ronaldo, okay? Okay, so just sit tight. And you too, Terry, you sit there. It's my podcast. I'm going to tell you about Ronaldo now. No, I'm not. Jan, go ahead. You take this one.
Well, I thought his behaviour in that game could well have lost it for them. And if it wasn't for some very good fortune and Diego Costa being an absolute monster in goal, they would have lost it. Even though he was clearly trying to make that game about him, he was selfish, he was arrogant, almost at times when he was about to take the many free kicks that he failed to score from, some of which were amazing, by the way, but Jan Oblak was just showing his quality in that game.
Yeah.
And really, I think, helped make Ronaldo look as ridiculous as he did. At times, Ronaldo was almost like he was talking to God. Even though the ceiling was closed, I'm sure that's how it works. You can't communicate with the Almighty if there's some scaffolding and stuff in the way of you. But anyway, he did, and that's why he started crying, I would think. But yeah, crazy. Considering that, I thought that Rafael Leao, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes all had cracking games. They all played really well, despite the fact that he was there stinking the place up. And I think that if he'd gone off and just let those lads get on with it, then I think Portugal could have won that game in normal time. But that said, Slovenia were very good and did frustrate Portugal. Šeško, I thought, was great. He had a chance to wrap it all up, but it did make it. I, as you can tell, because I've got an almost animated tone to my voice on this, I really enjoyed this game. It was one of the games of the tournament. And the fact it went to penalties just made it a bit more interesting, and even more interesting, rather. But yeah, to finish as I started, Diego Costa was brilliant between the sticks, and there were three good penalties aimed at him, and he saved all three. So and Portugal went through without conceding a goal in normal time, extra time, or even penalties. So if they're going to do anything against France, they need to take a look at themselves and go, the Ronaldo era is over. That guy's an incredible athlete, don't get me wrong, but you know, he's been around too long. He's not as good as he used to be. There are supremely talented players in that side already that should be given a go to try and take down France, which I think they probably could do if he wasn't around.
Well, Terry, what have you got to say about that? Is the Ronaldo era over? I mean, should they drop him for the next game? I mean,
they should drop him, but yeah. They're not going to, because also don't forget to chuck into the mix, you've got the best international manager in the world, Roberto Martinez.
No one doubts that for a minute.
No one doubts for a moment that he's an outstanding coach. And, you know, there's been, you know, this podcast has had some guy on here with a voice similar to mine who's been slagging him off, but, you know, I'm not having it. Ronaldo is undroppable until he retires, and they will be handicapped with him the longer he goes on, I'm afraid to say. I won't labour the point, but he was selfish and not acting in the interests of the greater team. He would possibly say to himself that he was, as the star guy, as the best player, as he probably sees himself as, it's his responsibility to take on the big chances and have the big moments. We said this in 2022. His problem is he's not managing his decline. He still thinks he's 21 years old. And I think that he needs to just consider that, in fact, there are players who are in a better position to win matches than he is, and he should be supporting them more as a mentoring, calming voice in the dressing room, and it's a source of inspiration if you choose to feel that he warrants that kind of accolade. I'm not convinced, but there you go. So I think that he is holding Portugal back. Whether that's enough for France, I don't know. France have been not terrible, but they just haven't been anything at all. They've been completely nothing. I don't doubt that, even though they're an incredibly talented squad, when you lose Mbappe for one of those games and for much of the first game because of his injury, then that will upset the equilibrium, because, you know, he's the captain. He's a world-class player. It doesn't matter how many other world-class players you've got. You are going to miss a guy like that. It doesn't matter how good your side is. So you can perhaps excuse them for that, but they desperately need some kind of energy and impetus. So this has the potential to be one for the ages, but it also has the potential to beat Ukraine versus Switzerland 2006. Mm. It could end up on penalties with nothing happening in the previous 120-odd minutes. And I fear it will be the latter.
Yeah, France were lucky to get past Belgium. A very, very late deflected shot coming in off the knee of Jan Vertonghen. That was not a great game. Portugal, Slovenia, all right, yeah, it was 0-0, an exciting game. Despite, and this may be a controversial opinion, Slovenia stinking out the tournament. I mean, honestly, they've played 7 games at Euros now, and they've drawn 6 of them. For God's sake, they should be banned from the next one. Like, oh, come on, give it a try. Come on. They won 7 in qualifying. They did really well in qualifying. This is a completely new Slovenia. No. They turn up to the tournament, draw. 4 draws.
I think it's fair. I mean, so, and in Šeško, I know he missed that big chance, but Šeško is proper quality footballer. Yeah. And I think that you can afford to be more ambitious at this point, Slovenia.
Yeah.
You're not Scotland. You actually do have some players that can win football matches.
Yeah. So there you go. And you're not good enough yet to completely stink out a tournament by just not playing well enough. You've got to be more Georgia. Come on, take a leaf out of their books. Go out in style. Losing 3-0 in a penalty shootout. That's weak. That was poor.
That was piss poor. That really was.
Exactly.
I mean,
thank you now. Head on back. Get out of here. Right, so let's talk about France then. So, Jan, this is the Mbappe show versus the Ronaldo show. Oh, what a tiresome narrative that's going to be. But, you know, that everyone's going to love it. It's going to do great for the numbers, isn't it?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, if that's going to be the strap line, I think people are going to be a bit disappointed. I think Mbappe, although he's shown some real flashes of brilliance because he is, in fact, brilliant, I think that injury's not done him many good at all. Apparently, he has complained. He's had several different types of masks. You know, the sweat's going in his eyes, he's affecting his vision, peripheral vision. So, you know, it's clearly going to affect a player of any standing, not least him. So he's not at the top of his game. Ronaldo, as we've said, isn't at the top of his. But France have been grinding out the results. It's been less precarious than maybe it was for England in their last game, but they keep grinding it out. And if they win ugly and they go through and do it, they'll do it. maybe France have got more about them because they've been grinding out those results. And that epic game Portugal were involved in is maybe will hang over them. But, you know, as we said, it depends on who is on the pitch for Portugal, because they've got some brilliant, brilliant players, as I've said, and they can cause some problems for France. But it could well be that that's another one that goes to penalties, I think, because they've got enough to nullify each other.
France, Terry, couldn't even beat Poland. That's how bad they are, isn't it?
No, it's true. You're right. They couldn't even beat Poland. And I mean, I won't add too much more than my previous remarks on France. Beyond to say that Mbappe's not fit. He shouldn't play.
Are we all agreed, though, that the winner of Spain-Germany are going to go on into the final then?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair point. Yeah,
I'm going to agree with that, because the prospect of a France-England final is so grim that I have to believe that it will be Spain.
Yeah, I can't see, either of those, France or Portugal, come through. I can't see them being able to overcome either Spain or Germany. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, international football, eh?
Yeah,
tricky thing to predict.
Bites you in the arse. Well, my personal prediction is a Spain-England final, which Spain will win comfortably. Almost as comfortably as when they played Italy in the final. That's what I think. Terry, what's your prediction for the final?
My prediction for the final? I say, if I stick with my original prediction, which was Netherlands to get to the final, then I think it's looking at a Spain-Netherlands final, which I think that Spain would also win, albeit not comfortably. But international football, and the good guys don't always win. And in this instance, Spain are the good guys, because they play the best football, they've got best players.
Do you think it's going to be as violent as the last time Spain and Netherlands played?
Well, that was awful. That was just like a terrible, terrible football match. No, because I don't think that, you know, I mean, I don't think Koeman sets his team up that way, to be honest with you. I don't think those Dutch players got it in them, frankly. So I think that what would happen is that the Netherlands would try and play football.
Yeah.
And pay dearly. If it was England, then we know exactly how Southgate's going to set them up.
Yeah. Jan, what's your prediction for the final then?
My prediction for the final is Germany against Turkey and a massive party.
Wow.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Yeah, big fan of that prediction. So you're getting into the spirit of things, Jan.
I
genuinely would love to see that final. Yeah. I might live 1,000 years and never see that happen. But I think that would be great.
Turkey to beat Germany in Berlin. Wow.
In Berlin, yeah, exactly. Turkey beating Germany in the final in Berlin. That's just going to change the world, lads.
That is going to change the world. Yeah.
That will change the world.
That's going to knock Greece beating Portugal into a cocked hat, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really will. Yeah. That will be just amazing. It'll tilt the geopolitical world on its axis. And the way... Just what's he going to do? What would that do to Germany? Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It won't happen, but it is amazing to think about. And hats off to you for having the imagination to imagineer it, Yanis.
We've said everything we can now about the tournament. Is there any other ideas that we haven't crossed? I'm looking down my list now, and I think we've said everything. Terry, anything that stood out for you for the tournament so far and what you hope for the tournament going ahead?
We did touch on them very briefly because you went to the game, but I mean, I thought that Georgia really more than just got into the spirit of it. I think that they went about it as a minnow should do. They had a right old go. And I love that someone on Twitter said that they seem to be playing as though they were playing with a basketball shot clock. So they're moving so rapidly in transition and trying to get a shot off. It's so good and satisfying to watch. And I'm glad that they made an impact, and it's vindication of the Nations League qualification route and its vindication of a 24-team Euro. The format is wrong because 24 teams is just... Ugh, but the number of teams is correct.
Yeah.
This tournament warrants 24 teams. If only there was some way of making it better, maybe a Swiss model or something like that for future tournaments.
Yeah.
Or perhaps, dare I say, an expansion. But certainly a Swiss model, I think, if that proves to be successful in the Champions League, I wonder if we'll see that rolled out. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to the remaining few games. I'm feeling a bit forlorn because we've got another couple of breaks. We're now moving into that kind of final stage where we don't have the constant football anymore. But man alive, it's terrific. And even if it's not been a classic tournament, it's still terrific.
Yeah, a Swiss model would have seen Ukraine go through, finishing bottom of their group. They would have gone through.
Oh, right.
Instead of Slovenia, who stunk out the tournament. See, I told you.
Who stunk out the tournament.
Swiss
yeah.
model, that's
so
what we
there
need.
We go then. All you right, see? Well, there we are. Swiss model it is then.
But yes, as you say, Terry, a vindication of the Nations League and how good it is. And Georgia really, really were good. And Kvaradona, a star, absolutely yep. glowed on that pitch. One of these players that you just sit up and take notice whenever the ball comes near him. Yeah, brilliant. And Yamal, brilliant. Nico Williams, brilliant. The real deal, both of them. And to see three talents like that just playing with freedom and just expressing themselves on the pitch was a real treat. One of the best football matches I've ever been to, that was. It really was an absolute corker. Jan, anything you've got to say about the rest of the tournament?
Nothing that you hadn't already said about Georgia. I agree with absolutely everything you've said. I think they've been an absolute revelation. Great to watch. Shame they went down by four, but you know that's a glorious way to end a glorious campaign for those guys. It was great. I actually thought Slovenia did all right at the tournament. I think it's this. Don't scowl at me, Graham.
Shut
don't
up.
Scowl at me. I think that.
I'm editing this.
I think what's been interesting about this, with the exception of Scotland and maybe Ukraine, there haven't really been any awful, Scotland were awful, but there haven't really been that many bad teams. And I think maybe the standards raised with some of the teams that are the non-seeded sides, if you like, and that's made for a more interesting tournament. I take Terry's point when he said it's not been a classic, but I think that's because maybe there's the difference between the seeded teams and the kind of pot teams isn't as great as it used to be. Or certainly that's my take on it from this tournament anyway. And as for going forward, I just really hope that the people kind of take the shackles off and just kind of get stuck in. I want to see some high scoring games and want to be entertained. Of course, that's not always going to happen, but certainly for England, please just take off the handbrake and get some high balls in there and get stuck in and bring it home.
Yes, yes, yes. Hopefully the spirit of Georgia will live on in the rest of this tournament. And really, come on, we're at quarterfinal stages now. Everyone can look at that. Everyone can look at it and say, right, yeah, we're in with the chance now. And then get disappointed as we go out in penalties in the quarterfinals again. But, of course, we don't know what will happen. And the next time you hear us talking, it'll be after the tournament, after the final. We're going to come back after the final and discuss what's happened and what we talked about today and how things changed and the surprise that of Portugal doing so well and Ronaldo finishing top scorer with six goals.
Ronaldo's hat-trick against the French.
Yes. Single-handedly tearing them apart, which will be something to talk about, won't it? But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 We are at Sound of Football on X, Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to get in touch there or head to our website, sofpodcast.com. Don't forget to rate and review us.
Yeah, so you and I just turn up for about three quarters of an hour, talk shit, and then go away, and then Graham then spends the next day putting it all together.
Sorry, I keep forgetting that all the hard work starts
yeah.
when me and Terry go off for a beer.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it? Yeah. See you next week.
Is it like being Paul McCartney, Grim? Shall we all just fuck off and you do all the heavy lifting?
Yeah, and then go and start another band.
Don't do that.
yeah.